Hello, this is my Lenten Diary for March the 9th, 2017. Today is Thursday in the first week of Lent. We Episcopalians love our books. Don't believe me? Take a glance at the photo which accompanies this diary entry. That stack of books, which includes a Bible, a prayer book, and a hymnal, represent some of the liturgical resources that are authorized by our church in order to resource congregations and clergy in the planning and execution of liturgy. For Episcopalians, the liturgy, the worship of God, is focal to who we are, and it is from our worship that we live into the rest of our lives, both as individual communities of faith and as individual followers of Jesus. And for us, as Episcopalians, worship has a singular focus, which is to the glory of God. Sometimes I wonder if we don't get a bit sidetracked, though. With all of the texts and resources, we can become, if we're not careful, a bit fussy about liturgy. And liturgy can, if we're not attentive, become an end in itself as we get overwrought about words or manual actions. Are we crossing ourselves at the right time? Are we bowing at the right time? Are we turning at the right time? Are we kneeling at the right time? Are the acolytes marching in sync or not? Are the candles being held at the same height? We can become so obsessed with some of the details that can almost sound or look as if we are worshiping the worship instead of worshiping God. Well, the psalmist in Psalm 50, which is our assigned psalm for today, apparently has some similar struggles with the people of the psalmist's day. In the psalm, the psalmist speaks as if quoting God, and it is directly a critique of the worship of the people of God. Here are just a few lines. This is the psalmist quoting God. O Israel, I will bear witness against you, for I am God, your God. I do not accuse you because of your sacrifices. Your offerings are always before me. Meaning, you're doing the worship as prescribed in the law. Plenty of sacrifices, plenty of things going on, lots of smoke, lots of fire. You're doing the ceremony, the ritual. But then God wonders if perhaps people have lost sight of the purpose of the ritual, or maybe they've started taking the ritual too seriously. God asks, "Do you think I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Do you think that the sacrifices are there for my health?" God seems to be asking. And then God says, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and make good your vows to the Most High. The sacrifice of animals as a part of temple worship was a means to an end, not an end in itself. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. The offering of animals was simply a representation of offering to God one's own self and making one's vows before God. But then God goes a bit further, because obviously there are people who are keeping all of the ritual code. They are providing the goats and the bulls and all of those other things, but something is lacking. So God says to those people, why do you recite my statutes and take my covenant upon your lips, since you refuse discipline and toss my words behind your back? When you see a thief, you make him your friend, and you cast in your lot with adulterers. You have loosed your lips for evil and harnessed your tongue to a lie. You are always speaking evil of your brother and slandering your own mother's son. God calls the people out. You're doing the worship correctly, but the worship is not leading to a change in your own behavior. And in fact, you are engaged in behaviors that are contrary to the law of God. So you're keeping the worship, you're ignoring the ethics. I think that has something to say to all of us. If we believe that the ritual language that we use in liturgy is somehow separate and distinct from the rest of our lives, it could be easy to come into church, do the church thing, and immediately go out and behave as if we had not been to church, or if attending church and worshiping God had no direct connection upon the rest of our lives. The critique that God offers the people of God in the psalmist's day, both of forgetting the purpose of worship and not connecting worship to the rest of their lives, well, that's a critique that still can apply today. What does it mean to live as a Eucharistic people in the world, to be the body and blood of Christ broken? It seems to me that it begins by giving glory to God and then seeking to live into God's glory in our own day-to-day lives. The psalmist concludes Psalm 50 by writing, "Again in God's voice, whoever offers me the sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. But to those who keep in my way will I show the salvation of God." We are called as the people of God to worship God, and we are called that worship impacts how we live for God in the world. And living for God in the world, for Christians, means to follow the way of Jesus, which we believe is the salvation of God. So the next time you're in church, at worship, I invite you to pay attention maybe a little more closely to the words you're saying, the words you're hearing, and to particularly reflect on how do these words connect with my day-to-day life. Am I living a worshipful life as a response to worshiping God? I think that's a valid Lenten reflection. My prayer is that we do not, after worship, readily toss God's words behind our back, but we keep God's words in our heart and in our mind and in our day-to-day lives. Let us pray. Strengthen us, O Lord, by your grace, that in your might we may overcome all spiritual enemies and with pure hearts serve you through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.